Now from the KSFR newsroom, at noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Tuesday, September 17th.
The number of potential candidates for Santa Fe's top job is down by one today. Santa Fe City Councilor Chris Rivera says he won't be running for mayor after he'd been circulating petitions to run for the city's top post in February's municipal elections. Rivera, who represents District 3 on the governing body, says he made the decision after consulting with family, friends, and supporters. Rivera says he plans to turn his focus to his council district duties. The Santa Fe School Board this afternoon will discuss changing where students attend middle and high schools in the Santa Fe district. The New Mexican reports that the proposed changes would alter student feeder patterns for all schools and ease crowding issues. Upon board approval, the plan will be subject to public hearings next month before the proposal is voted on in November. The school board meets at 5:30 at the Educational Services Center on Alta Vista. Two Santa Fe charitable foundations are among the group of eight organizations representing New Mexico at the National Summit on Hispanic Early Learning in Miami this week. President Obama's proposed $75 billion Preschool for All program will be highlighted at the summit, which is part of the president's plan to better prepare Latino children for learning and improving their performance in school. The conference will also focus on the results of children receiving high-quality early learning. At this afternoon's meeting of Santa Fe's Public Safety Committee, several city councilors, along with Police Chief Ray Rael, will propose a resolution to combat illicit drugs. The agenda describes it as a matter relating to the health, safety, and welfare of city residents, encouraging the police department and citizens to collaborate in an effort to get illegal drugs off Santa Fe streets. A special election for a late-term abortion ban that would prohibit the procedure after 20 weeks of pregnancy is set to be put before Albuquerque voters on November 19th. That date may also feature runoff elections for the Duke City mayor and city council posts if the October 8th city elections don't produce decisive winners. If no runoffs are required, Albuquerque voters would decide the abortion measure by a mail-in vote. Santa Fe police say their proactive anti-crime initiatives have the city on track for a record low year for burglaries. The city's crime statistics show August with a 19% drop in total burglaries compared to last year. For the same period, residential burglaries are down 47%. After our heavy rains, the State Department of Health is warning citizens of dangers presented by standing water, such as infectious diseases and chemical hazards. Additionally, floodwaters can displace animals, insects, and reptiles that can present dangers to humans. Mosquitoes will also be a problem in coming days. They can spread West Nile virus. The Department of Health advises using insect repellent when outdoors, especially at dusk when the insects are most active. As a result of the rains, Santa Fe is temporarily dependent on city wells for its water supply. That comes as turbid waters in the Rio Grande, along with runoff flows from the Los Alamos National Laboratory area, necessitate shutting down intake at the Buckman Direct Diversion Project. Officials say water draws can't begin again until river waters are calmer and clearer, perhaps in a week or so. Weather for Santa Fe, the downward trend in showers is in evidence today with a 20% chance for afternoon showers and thunderstorms, though it increases slightly to 30% for early evening hours. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies with highs in the low to mid-70s, overnight lows in the low 50s. For KSFR News, I'm Tom Trowbridge.
Thank you, Tom. And in another item just into the newsroom, the New Mexico Department of Health has just announced the first case of flu this season. The DOH says influenza struck a 60-year-old man from Bernalillo County. Last year, the first case of flu was reported in November. The department says now it's hard to predict how severe this flu season will be, but the flu vaccination offers the best protection against serious illness. New Mexicans with insurance are encouraged to contact their doctors or pharmacies about getting a flu vaccine. The health department offers vaccinations for people without insurance or who are otherwise not able to get immunized at local health offices. At noon on KSFR, we'll continue in just a moment.
Support comes from New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union, where the more you participate in your not-for-profit financial cooperative, the more money you earn. For details on Earn Your Return, go to nmefcu.org or visit their branch on St. Michael's Drive.
12 minutes past the hour, as At Noon now segues to today's feature stories. Sometime in the next several days, 3,000 Santa Fe County households will be receiving a survey about the quality of life here and the services provided to county residents. Here to discuss the survey is Carol Jaramillo, budget administrator for the county. Carol, tell us about this survey.
The National Citizen Survey is a short questionnaire, basically, that it will be sent to 3,000 households in Santa Fe County. And what we are trying to do with this survey is to learn how our citizens rate the services that we provide and also the quality of life in Santa Fe County. So the questionnaire is driven towards finding out that information.
And how were the 3,000 households selected?
They were picked by random by the National Research Center. We provided our geographic information and zip code information to the center, and they did their scientific magic. I don't know exactly how they do it, but they came up with 3,000 randomly picked households that were evenly split between the various commission districts so that we would be able to know geographically, be able to know what is important by geography.
Did the idea to use the survey originate with Santa Fe County, or were we picked by the survey company?
No, this is something that we asked to do. We had done a survey a few years back, not this particular survey, and it was time to update the information to find out what our citizens think and what their priorities are. So the questionnaire will tell us that, and we'll have up-to-date information so that we can use it for our budgeting purposes.
Did the county have to pay to have the survey done?
It is something that we paid for. The National Research Center is the one that will administer it. It's done in cooperation with the International City and County Management Association. The way that the survey was developed was done in such a way that it is generally boilerplate, and then we will do some customized questions in there so that it actually saves money from a standard survey that we might get from a polling firm.
What are some of the specific questions that are asked?
Some of the questions are driven towards quality of life. How would you rate Santa Fe County as a place to live? Do you intend to live here in 5 years? Do you feel safe in Santa Fe County? Questions like that. And what we hope to learn from that is basically what we can control that we're doing right and what we are doing wrong so that we can focus our efforts in areas that would make the quality of life for our citizens better. Then there are questions that have specific to our services. How do you rate our sheriff's department? How do you rate our fire department, our EMS, and our roads and our streetlights and things like that, that we're trying to get specific information so that we know, well, the citizens in certain districts, their higher priority is getting better roads, or in another district or area of the county, priority is getting quicker fire response. So it will help us to determine where we might be able to divert our resources so that we can better serve the citizens.
And when will those selected to participate be receiving the survey questionnaire itself?
The pre-notification postcards are on their way. Unfortunately, they were a half a day late coming out because the National Research Center is in Boulder. So they had a little difficulty getting the mail out, but they are on their way, and they should be at people's houses today if they aren't already. And then the actual survey itself will be mailed out next Friday, and so mail time from Boulder. They should be over the weekend or next Monday. The households that are selected will have their surveys in hand. There's a prepaid envelope. There's also a web address on the survey that they can actually go online and fill it out if they don't want to rely on the mail. It's a private address so that we can maintain the integrity of the scientific sample. But the survey is 13 quality of life and service questions. They're multi-part. And then there's some demographic questions as well in addition. So it shouldn't take more than 15 or 20 minutes to complete the survey.
Anything else our listeners need to know?
I would like the listeners to know that if they do get picked to fill out the survey, that they please, please, please do so, because it will really help us. It will help the error rate so that we know exactly what it is that our citizens are thinking and what they need from us.
Carol Jaramillo with Santa Fe County, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR, which will continue in just a moment.
Take the High Road and experience fine art in northern New Mexico this fall. It's the 16th annual High Road Art Tour, offering world-class work with over 70 artists and craftspersons, opening their home and studios on the High Road to Taos Scenic Byway, September 21st and 22nd, 28th and 29th. Maps and more information at highroadnewmexico.com or call 888-866-3643. That's highroadnewmexico.com. A message from the tax-exempt High Road Artisans.
12:17 here in the KSFR newsroom as At Noon continues. KSFR News spoke this morning with our Senator Tom Udall in Washington. He addressed the state's recent flooding and its aftermath.
Let me start off by saying my heart goes out to everyone who's been affected by the storms and the flooding. I also want to say a special thank you to our first responders who have been busy since last week responding to the storms. My office has been in touch with state, local, and tribal leaders since last week and through the weekend. I call the governor to pledge my help. We're ready to assist as the state begins the recovery and cleanup work. We've obviously had a very significant flooding event, high water levels not seen in decades in some places. My office has been in close contact with the Army Corps of Engineers. Thankfully, the federally maintained dams and levees along the Rio Grande have performed well. But there's quite a bit of damage out there to roads, bridges, and dams, as well as agricultural land and individual homes. In the days ahead, I'll be doing everything I can to help ensure New Mexico communities get disaster assistance. Just a few notes on how that process works. I'll be here to support any federal disaster requests by the state and tribal governments, but we need to tally the damages first. FEMA is in New Mexico this week to see if the damage warrants a federal declaration. If so, the state and local governments could get most of the costs reimbursed for debris removal and infrastructure repairs. Thanks to legislation I recently helped pass, tribes now deal directly with the federal government on disaster declarations. They follow the same procedures as the state, and we're working closely with all of them to make sure they get what they need.
This week, the Senate will be dealing with an energy efficiency bill.
This week in the Senate, we're turning to a major bipartisan energy efficiency bill. This is a great piece of legislation that we can make even better. We waste as much as 6 billion gallons of water because of inefficient water systems. Water utilities devote as much as 4% of their total budget to energy costs, and that's why I'm offering two water-related amendments. One of my amendments would create pilot projects around the country to encourage innovative, energy-efficient water systems. The second would promote water conservation to help communities and families reduce costs. A third amendment would create a national renewable electricity standard by 2025 to create a built-in market for renewable energy and create good-paying, clean energy jobs.
Senator Udall, who, as a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, was just one of two Democrats voting against authorization of military force in the Syrian conflict, had this to say about recent developments.
Under the deal negotiated by the United States and Russia, the Organization for the prohibition of chemical weapons will do its first inspection of Syria's chemical weapons stockpile in November, with destruction of the chemical weapons to start next year. This new effort may achieve more than a missile strike ever could, the elimination of weapons of mass destruction from Syria. We still have a lot of questions to answer, but I'm cautiously optimistic.
Finally, the senator spoke of funding for increased broadband services in rural areas of New Mexico.
There are a number of funding sources that are helping with the digital divide and trying to get our communities hooked up across the mountains in the Estancia Valley. I believe that was from the Recovery Act. Monies came to hook up those five communities and hook up the backbone of the communities, libraries, first responders, cities, county offices, that kind of thing, and then later with in schools and later with businesses to follow. So there's work going on there. I think you're going to see future announcements. We also get some of that funding through the Department of Agriculture. I've tried in my years here in the Congress any place where there's funding to push the ability of communities to get hooked up. This really offers them an opportunity to grow their job base, to be connected, and to really start ramping up their rural economic development efforts.
From Washington, D.C., Senator Tom Udall speaking with KSFR earlier today.
The Amigos Bravos free monthly lecture series Water Matters will feature outdoor installation artist Scott Moore on the environmental restoration project Beautiful Midden along the Rio Pueblo de Taos. The lecture takes place Tuesday, September 17th, 5:30 p.m. at the Santa Fe Community Foundation. Learn more at amigosbravos.org. Amigos Bravos, Because Water Matters, is a tax-exempt organization protecting and restoring New Mexico's waters for 25 years.
22 minutes past the hour as At Noon continues. Santa Fe County has been working on its Sustainable Land Development Code for a number of years now. The new code will encompass detailed regulations for the development of land within the county, crafted in part by a strong public input process. Next month brings a study session on the matter. KSFR News reporter Marion Cox has caught up with County Commissioner Kathy Holian, who provides KSFR with a summary of recent actions and where the matter is headed in the future. Here now is Marion Cox's report.
We're talking today with Commissioner Kathy Holian, Chair of the Santa Fe County Board of County Commissioners. Kathy, thank you for talking with KSFR. We know there are a lot of things going on in the county. We know that a number of priority issues are either currently under consideration or getting ready to come up. Let's start with the Sustainable Land Development Code. Update our listeners on where we are on the SLDC.
I have to say that this is by far my number one priority. Getting the Sustainable Land Development Code passed as an ordinance by the end of the year.
Now, a lot of people have been following this, and it is an effort that has been going on for the better part of 3 years. Tell us why it's taken so long to formally bring it before the County Commission for deliberation and ultimately a decision.
Well, I think that one reason that it has taken a fair amount of time, and this is actually a good reason, is we have really tried to bring the public into this. We have had numerous public meetings. We released the first draft of the code last September. We asked for public comment, and we got over 3,000 public comments. So it's taken a while to go through those comments.
I'm assuming you cannot respond to each and every one of 3,000 comments, but how do you summarize, catalog, and then present to interested members of the county what it is you learned through those comments and what your response as the county was to those comments?
Of course, a lot of the comments have been similar in nature, so our staff has been writing responses to those comments. In the case of very good suggestions, they've been trying to incorporate them into the code, and in the case of issues that they cannot incorporate into the code for one reason or another, they are writing reasons as to why they cannot do that. So they are compiling all of this information. And when we have our next study session on the code, which is going to be on October 15th, we will get a synopsis.
obviously, when a county goes to this level of effort to update an existing land use code, you want to try to the best of your ability to make sure that it will sustain or withstand legal challenge. Do you feel that the staff and consultants have been able to write a plan that will withstand legal challenge?
Well, as a matter of fact, they have contracted with in fact, Dr. Robert Freilich, who helped us in the first place with putting the code together, to do a legal analysis of the draft of the code as it exists. And that will be done by the October 15th meeting. But it's extremely important, as you pointed out, to make sure that it is on sound legal footing.
Do you feel that all five county commissioners are supportive of the passage of a new sustainable land development code, or is there a political hurdle still to jump?
I feel that they all are very supportive of actually implementing a new sustainable land development code. However, there are some issues that are controversial, and there are probably some issues where we will disagree.
What are the key issues that will be of interest to our listeners where you think there's still either disagreement or some level of concern?
Some of the important and different features that are in this code as compared to what we're dealing with now is, first of all, number one, format. What we are going to have in the future is one complete code. Right now what we have is an original code that was written maybe 20, 30 years ago, and then there are amendments to it and amendments to the amendments, and almost nobody in the world, probably only two or three people in the world, actually understand our current code. It'll be a lot easier for people to access the code and to learn what's in it. Amazingly enough, Santa Fe County does not have zoning in the traditional sense. We have these things called geohydrological zones, but that actually has to do with development density. And we do not have zoning in the sense of specifying what are the allowed uses in a specific zone. Another really big thing that is going to be different are design standards. We are going to have design standards for everything, from roads to wind generators to water, wastewater utilities. It's going to make sure we have design standards for every single kind of man-made development that people can do. And the final thing is that we're actually going to have capital improvement planning. This is an important part of the new code as well.
Why is this important to the average Santa Fe County resident?
The way that we've done development in the past, there's been a lot of sprawl, especially in the county. And we're now paying the price for that. Sprawl development, it may be cheap in the beginning, but it's expensive in the long run. We have a lot of neighborhoods in our area where roads were actually put in by the developer. They were put in before we actually had design standards for roads in our county code. And so now these roads, which were not designed well in the first place, are often private roads, and they haven't been maintained well over the years, are in deep need of some very, very expensive redesign and repair. And let me just point out, it's not the county government that's paying for it, it's the taxpayers ultimately who are paying for this. So we want to put in place design standards so that 20, 30 years from now, it won't come back to haunt the taxpayers of Santa Fe County.
Tell us what the timeline looks like right now for this new Sustainable Land Development Code to be formally presented to the BCC.
Well, the final draft of the code was released last Friday, and October 15th will be the first of our study sessions, but then we'll have a couple of more study sessions. We are planning to vote on the draft of the code sometime in November, and then if there is more to talk about or more discussion and we're not able to vote on it that meeting, we have reserved the first meeting in December for that. That is the current time schedule.
That was KSFR News reporter Marion Cox speaking with Santa Fe County Commissioner Kathy Holian.
Saturday, September 21st at 11 a.m. right here on KSFR, scientist and author Greg Braden visits Camp Loveway to discuss his book, Deep Truth, and open up new neural pathways and activate DNA. Part 2 of our conversation will air Saturday, September 28th.
12:30 here in the KSFR newsroom. Dogs have been used for a number of jobs where their sense of smell comes in handy, like sniffing out drugs or other contraband. Now, dogs are being used for a conservation project. Here is KSFR news reporter Charles Maynard with the story.
Yes, just like I promised, this is about a dog. Well, you will enjoy it if you'll let me record it. When you look at a dog, the first thing that comes to mind is generally not salamanders. But for some dogs in New Mexico, salamanders offer employment and a chance to help out with the environment. And Bradley is with the Nature Conservancy.
We like to think about this experimental project is that it's kind of nature helping nature. And we are working with a number of partners, U.S. Forest Service, the Fish and Wildlife Service, and Department of Fish and Game, to try to understand better the needs for and the distribution of the Jemez Mountain salamander, which is unique. So our Jemez Mountains have the salamander, and it's the only place in the world. And it turns out that this animal is really hard to survey for. It only comes up during the monsoons. It lives most of its life underground. And to look for it with just people is pretty tedious because you turn over rocks and logs and so forth, and you can't cover much ground. So we got together with an organization called the Conservation Canines. They're in the Conservation Biology Department of University of Washington, and they've used these dogs to great effect in helping other conservation projects. What they do is they train the dogs to scent for rare animals. And so we thought, well, let's try this with a salamander because we're not making a lot of progress just with our own human sense.
The salamander is an endangered species.
Just this last week, it was listed as an endangered species under the Federal Endangered Species Act.
The dogs are paid for by the Nature Conservancy.
Just like a lot of us nonprofits, the Conservation Canines run by grants and donations by interested people, and then people like us in the Nature Conservancy basically hire them in order to work on specific projects, and so that's been the case here in New Mexico.
For more information, visit the Conservancy's website.
We really do rely on people's generosity and interest in conservation and the fate of these, you know, fantastic dogs. So people can go to www.nature.org/New Mexico, and New Mexico is all one word. And on our website, you can find information about the Conservation Canines Project and how you can support us.
Ann Bradley with the Nature Conservancy. For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
12:34 here in the KSFR newsroom. Here at the bottom of the hour is the ever-appropriate time to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
I was at the Satellite Cafe on University in Albuquerque. A collegiate-looking couple walked in, boy, girl, she was attractive. They sat down at the table next to my table where I was quietly eating my rather tasty tuna sandwich. I noticed that the girl was young, late teens, and pleasantly rosy-cheeked. Without trying to intentionally listen, I picked up a few things, including her semi-valley girl accent from a short stay in California. The confiscation of her chunky peanut butter before a marathon, I have no idea. She also announced for the restaurant to hear, "I hate," and then it was blank sex. I had to look the phrase up. Let me tell you this, it was a lot worse than twerking. Oh, the nubile-looking girl was wearing a full-length white summer dress. I guess white is the new scarlet. Reference Nathaniel Hawthorne. He was a writer before he died. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And with that, we'll conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. Dan Garrity with you here at the news desk, with many thanks to my contributing colleagues today, Charles Maynard, Marion Cox, and Tom Trowbridge. We'll be back tomorrow with more news of and for New Mexico, and as always, we hope you join us.